Okay, it's Israel and the nations, Jews and Gentiles.
I think all these studies we've done have a significance, certainly. But this one has a lot to do with what's going on in all churches. They're either supportive of Israel or they're not. Now, I'm not speaking of the politics, I'm speaking of the Bible. The church is not Gentile. The church was hijacked and made it into a Gentile thing. And many of us have promoted it without realizing it. Christmas and Easter are not in the Bible. There are events that are there in the Bible. But Holy Week, when all that church calendar stuff was devised by the Catholic Church to supplant the feasts that are in the Bible that we ought to deal with. And so we're dealing with when it has to do with Jesus coming into the world. There are many prophecies about that, and probably came in during the time of Tabernacles, not in December. And I won't go into the whole history why it's December, but it has to do with the winter solstice festivals, the pagan festivals, everything. And the Catholic Church didn't like the fact that they had competition, so they developed this special mass for Christ. He doesn't need a mess. Mass. And that's where we get Christ's mass. The mass of Christ we call Christmas, but it's really the mass, M-A-S-S, of Christ. And then from that you came out with a lot of pagan things, and that's where Kris Kringle, Santa Claus, and all these other things, Yule log, all those things come in, right? Okay. He was born in late September, early October, in the year 5 B.C. We'll go into all that stuff that this lesson is about. Ishtar is a pagan fertility goddess of sex. That's why they're eggs and all that stuff. Rabbits. Joanne didn't know that rabbits laid eggs. She never got that connection of Easter eggs. Easter bunny and Easter eggs. She wasn't even celebrating it right in the pagan way. Okay. And all I'm saying is that this lesson is going to show you in the scriptures there is no salvation apart from the Jews. It all comes through the Jewish people, their Messiah. The covenants were made with people that became part of Israel. Abraham was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. No. No. Isaac was the Jew. Isaac was the Jew. Jacob wasn't a Jew. Judah was the first Jew. Judah, Jew. That's where it comes from. We use it generically. Or say the Jewish people. But the Bible doesn't use that. If we've been studying the Old Testament, it calls them what?
Hebrews.
First they were called Hebrews, which became the name for the language, given to Abraham when he crossed the river, Euphrates River, up to the north there. It's very interesting. All the stuff that's in the Bible is where all the hell's breaking loose today. He came from what is Babylon or Iraq today. And then came into the land of Canaan, which is Israel today. All that people. The battle between Isaac and Ishmael is still going.
Yes.
Muhammad was an Ishmaelite. Ishmael's second son, that's his great-great-grandfather. There's still a battle going on between the twins, Jacob and Esau. Edom, right? Prophecies that are still in Ezekiel have not all been fulfilled. We're up to about chapter 37 in Ezekiel that's been fulfilled. The dry bones have come back to life and so on, right? That song, Connect the Bones, that's Ezekiel 37, right? And 38, I think, is soon going to get going here. So, okay, so what's the issue? a man was called, his name was Abram, and then God called him Abraham because he'd be the father of many nations. And out of him developed a family through his son Isaac, not through Ishmael, his firstborn. God considers Isaac to be the firstborn because in the Bible, firstborn is not positional, it is what? Jesus is called firstborn also. So what is it? It's not the birth order. Yeah, preeminence. The preeminence is the actual, right. Yeah, important or preeminence. In other words, it was preordained that that's the way it'd be because God tells us in Hebrews that before these boys were even born, God had said that the older will serve the younger. God already predetermined that, right? Okay. Then we have Jacob, and God renamed him Israel. Means struggle. Remember, he was struggling with the Lord? That was Jesus he was battling with that night. He touched his thigh, and that tendon was damaged. That's why he limped there afterwards. But he was named Israel. So we can call him Israelis as well, right? And that's what this is about. Because the covenants came through Abraham. We also have the covenant with Noah. We have the covenant with David, a virgin shall conceive. They're basic covenants. But there is one to the Gentiles, and it's in Isaiah. And it really is still through the Jews' salvation, but it talks about that at some point there'll be a great light. Remember that? That they will see a great light, and that's referring to the gospel. And they will come in. And so we as true believers are connected in two ways. And what two ways are there? Yeah, spiritually, but how? What would be the... Well, he's the one that draws, convicts, and so on, you know. That what... Way. And that's what this lesson's about, the olive tree. We have been grafted in, but we also are adopted sons and daughters of Abraham. So when I witness to Jews, I say we could be related. You might be a physical descendant of Abraham. I wouldn't be because I'm from Japheth, but spiritually, he's my father. What? I'm going to all that, but it's a wonderful way to relate to Jews, and it starts getting a discussion. And they'll end up by saying, you know more about Judaism than I do. And they're a Jew. I said, because you're not a good Jew. You know, you don't even follow the Judaism of the Old Testament. And that's good if you don't. But you see, it opens the door. It's not the Roman road. Right? So there are many ways you need to know that. So that's what this lesson is about. And you need to know it definitely theologically, but it will help you in your witnessing and understanding this, that we should be grateful to the Jews. They suffered greatly because Satan hates them for three reasons, main reasons. One, right, because the Messiah would come through. Mm-hmm. And? Mm. What do you got in front of you?
The Bible.
Right. The scriptures would come through them. And? There's a future land in restoration. Yeah. God's working his plan through them, but God, in his infinite mercy and grace and love, brought in the Gentiles. Okay, and some of the Jews are blinded so the Gentiles could come in, and then at some point it's going to reverse again. That's what this study's about. So let's read the introduction here.
One of the great mysteries in the scriptures has to do with the relationship between the nation of Israel and the Gentile world. As the world began, all people were considered Gentiles. Abram, renamed Abraham by God, was a Gentile. It was through Abraham that God made a covenant, declaring that through Abraham, God would create a people, a land, or a nation, and from whom a descendant would come and bless the world, as revealed in Genesis. Genesis 12, 2 and 3. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. B, the people were created through Abraham and Isaac, and a nation through Jacob, who was renamed Israel, which means struggle. The nation of Israel was forged in the iron furnace in Egypt over 400 years. The people became known as Hebrews, meaning one who crossed the river Euphrates, and Israelites from the nation of Israel. The land would be given a few years later. Starting in 1446 BC, the Israelites were being prepared for the land, which would be delayed in occupying due to unbelief. In God's economy, one is either of Israel or the world or Gentile. Thus, after the establishment of the Israelites, all peoples of the world were divided into two groups, Israelites and Gentiles, or Greeks, according to the New Testament. D. Someday, as pictured in the Feast of Pentecost, with the two loaves of bread, the Gentiles would be united with the Israelites, or the Jews. Both loaves of bread were made with the same flour and contained leaven. Leaven represents sin in the scriptures. The fulfillment of Pentecost took place 10 days after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. As a result, two of the mysteries became a reality. God came into the world as Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the Jews and Gentiles could become one in Christ when the church began, as prophesied in Jeremiah.
Okay, you see the diagram at the bottom?
Yeah.
So it's only through the church where you're going to have Jew and Gentile. The Gentiles are not supposed to become Jews.
Yeah.
And the Jews are not supposed to become Gentiles. And this is where you found in the early church they had a problem, because when Jewish people became Christians, the Judaizers said, well, okay, but you still must be circumcised and honor the Sabbath and don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. And they had to address all this issue. There are Christians today, the same thing. This is why Messianic believers, it's actually in reverse in some ways, but Messianic believers, still some of them do not want to engage in pigs. They're not basing their salvation or good works on it. It's just something that's been in their culture, and they want to leave it that way. And some of the Messianic congregations meet on the Sabbath. Not because they're trying to honor the Old Testament, because that's the way they can reach their other people. See, we can allow those things to get in the way. What day we meet is not an issue. He said, you don't set a special day in that. We tend to worship on a Sunday because of resurrection. That's why. The Seventh-day Adventists are false. It's a false church. Because they go in, they have preterists as well, and they go into all kinds of weird things. But that they believe that you must have the Sabbath. That's why they're called that. Okay, let's read Jeremiah here.
Jeremiah 31:31-36. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time.
Okay, now here we already have, he's a husband of whom?
Who? He's a husband to Israel.
Israel. So God the Father is already wedded to Israel, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And then we know in the church, we are pictured as the bride of Christ, and he's the bridegroom. Mm-hmm. Spiritually speaking here now. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. So if a Jewish person came into the church, then they're going to be the same as you. Mm-hmm. They're going to be part of the bride. Mm-hmm. Right. They're not already guaranteed heaven because God is wedded to them. They may not be wedded to God. You know what I'm saying? Just because of Judaism of the Old Testament days, they're saved by grace through faith as well, faith in God, honoring God, not faith in the sacrifice. They're obedient to it, right? But now we're talking about, in Jeremiah, it's the Old Testament, there's going to come a time. And that was going to be hundreds of years in the future. But he's trying to show them something. Because what's happening in Jeremiah is the destruction of Israel and the temple. So this is an encouragement. Go ahead.
This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say one to another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declared the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who declares the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will Israel ever cease being a nation before me.
Now, there are churches that say that's not true because they denied the Messiah, and so that covenant is broken. Now, how do you break an everlasting covenant that is unconditional? Then, if that's true, you don't have any guarantee of salvation. But see, this is anti-Semitism at its worst, because it really interferes with the gospel and leads a lot of people to hell. Okay, E,
after the new covenant was activated in God's economy, there would be three groups of people, Jews, Gentiles, and Christians. After the birth of the church, there can be Jews and Gentiles who are not saved during the church. The church, the third group, is made up of Jew and Gentile. People have asked me many times where the Jews came from. As stated above, the nation of Israel and its people were created out of nothing. In other words, neither existed until the time of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and his fourth son was named Judah. The term Jew comes from Judah. Therefore, one would have to come from the lineage of Judah in order to officially be a Jew. And King David and all of those in the Messianic line, including Joseph and Mary, are Jews. However, the term Jew has been used in a generic sense for many years. This is how I'm using Jew in this study. Background number two. A. The relationship between the world and the Jews has been, is, and will be a basis for debate, hatred, and war until the Prince of Peace comes. The motivation behind this is Satan. He hates the nation of Israel and the Jewish people for the following reasons. The scriptures, the Messiah, and the future home for all true believers has to do with the nation, with the land of Israel and the Jewish people. The official name for Israel, given by God, is not the state of Israel, but the land of Israel as revealed in Matthew. Matthew 2:21. So he got up, Joseph, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel.
Okay, so the official name is what?
The land of
It's the land of Israel. Truman made it the state of Israel. I'm not going to quibble that because that's kind of a world how we would do it. Mm-hmm. So you see, the land has been the battle, mm-hmm. and God always said it's the land of Israel. Okay. See?
See? God's plan for salvation was first for the Jews and then the Gentiles. There are not two plans for salvation, one for the Jews and another for the Gentiles. Do not get caught up in the lies of history, which are still being perpetrated today. Unfortunately today, most U.S. churches have rejected what the Lord revealed in His Word regarding His total plan for salvation. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Ephesians 2:11-13, therefore, remember that formerly those who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Now notice it says brought near.
Near.
What does that mean? It didn't say brought to salvation.
No, just closer.
Well, yeah. Means is propitiated. Closer. It was made available.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it means. You need to check the verse of what it means. Brought near means that it's available. What did Jesus say when he was walking around about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is war? He's at one point he said at hand, another point he said near. The closer it got to the cross, the more intimate that became. Because the gate to the kingdom of God was standing before them speaking. What an awesome thing. Today, we have it through His Word and the working of the Holy Spirit. And so it's at hand positionally. Made available. But it's not a guarantee unless something happens. And what has to happen?
Received. Has to be received. Repent and receive.
Okay, received. And what do you receive?
Spirit of the truth.
That He died?
No.
And rose.
Ah. Near is propitiated, made available, but you need to repent and receive. What do you receive? Right. Spell it out more. Oh. What's really taking place? What is salvation? You were what?
Born again.
Okay, but what does that mean?
New life in Christ.
What does that mean? How can it be?
Transformed.
True, that's what happens afterwards, but how? What's really there? You were what? You were a bond servant into sin, and now you've been... And what's the word? You were bought with a price.
Redeemed.
Thank you. No, that's important. It's redeemed. Everybody's been propitiated. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So God so agaped the world. Not, it didn't say you, the world. He gave His one and only begotten Son, who believed that Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God propitiated, the cross propitiated, made a way. Just as the priest went in, put blood on the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. Made a way, what it means, that God was satisfied. The Father was satisfied by the work of the cross. But it's no good to you unless you are able to receive it. Right? If you have a voucher in your pocket or purse and you never use it in life, and then someday you say, well, that's not fair. I had this voucher and I didn't get anything for it.
You didn't redeem it.
You didn't redeem it.
Back. Right. Back in the world of sin
So what you're doing in redemption is you are repenting and receiving grace. And therefore you've been redeemed. That's what born again salvation is all about. It's a redemption. It's like you got something down to the pawn shop. It's got to be redeemed. You got to pay a price for it.
Yeah, that's right.
But see, Jesus Christ paid in full. Mm-hmm. It's a leg tie. It's a name was put there. When the prisoner finished the sentence, they got a paper stamp, the leg tie. Mm-hmm. Paid in full. And they could show that.
Yeah.
No more persecution. It was taken care of.
Oh, it's like Ruth and Boaz.
Yes. Right. We won't bring that in because that gets... But it's a redeemer, yes. Kinsman redeemer, because it had to do with his cousin. Okay, next.
We are living at a time when the fulfillment of his plan is in progress. Let us get to the Bible or stay with the Bible, whichever the case may be for you. Replacement theology is a belief that the Lord has rejected Israel and the Jewish people because they rejected Jesus Christ and had him crucified. 1. The scriptures clearly state that God is not finished with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. The destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD was a judgment, not a total rejection. History reveals it was the false Christians who were behind persecuting the Jewish people worldwide. This was motivated by the leadership of the Catholic Church and Martin Luther when he realized the Jews were not converting to Christianity after the Reformation. It was the writings of Martin Luther and Henry Ford that Hitler used to justify actions of removing the Jews from Germany and Europe.
Henry Ford, the car maker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hitler's...
Oh, I know, but I have to make sure.
In Hitler's office, they found a copy of, I don't know what it's called, but they put out a magazine. A lot of corporations do. And in there, he had written about a lot of anti-Jewish things.
Oh, the Catholic Church and the Muslims helped fund Hitler and his Nazi movement. During the Middle Ages, under the leadership of the Catholic Church, Jews were forced into synagogues by the Crusaders and burned to death while the Crusaders sang, "Fairest Lord Jesus."
Oh.
Yeah. In other words, it was some of the Gentiles who hijacked the church and made it Gentile by rejecting everything Jewish, including the true Messiah. The feasts of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles were replaced by such events as Advent, Christmas,
Advent,
Holy Week, and Easter.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a counter-Reformation movement since the late 1500s, organized by the Catholic Church. The organization formed was called the Society of Jesus, which became known as the Jesuits. The Jesuits' major goals were to discredit Bible translations other than the Vulgate Latin version, which was designed to meet the corrupted doctrines of the Catholic Church, and to infiltrate other church groups as non-Catholics in an attempt to lead people back to the Catholic Church. Following is one example of how the NIV version of the Bible has been corrupted by comparing Romans 10:16 in the King James Version with the New International Version. Now, the New King James, Romans 10:16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" Now the New International, "But all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?'" Israelites was inserted instead of they. The context of Romans chapter 10 has to do with the Gentiles being grafted into the line of Abraham. The scriptures teach that the Gentiles must come into Israel, not Israel into the Gentiles. The true church was, is, and always will be Jewish, represented by the natural olive tree.
Okay.
The Gentiles the wild olive tree.
We gotta think. There's a lot going on here. Now, I've been through this a lot, but maybe some people haven't been here.
Yeah.
The Bible, do you believe the Bible teaches just what that says?
Yeah.
It's the Gentiles coming in through the Jews rather than the Jews into the Gentiles. Yes, we want to make the Jews conform. The first major conference of the church was held in Jerusalem, Jesus' half-brother James being the pastor of that church. And the question was, do we allow the Gentiles into the church? And it was based on then, okay, but then do we have to have all the males circumcised when they become? We don't just baptize them, we circumcise them first. Wouldn't that be nice in a church service? Well, we'll do that behind the curtain. And then after he recovers in 2 months, then he can come out and get baptized. Or the other one had to do with honoring Sabbath and the meat sacrifice to idols and such. But then they began to work through. You got to remember, at that point, they didn't have the letters that God gave Paul. They didn't have all those things that we have. So we need to have a lot of compassion and understanding what they were dealing with. And so they had to go back through the ministry of Jesus, because it was after the ascension. What was the message that Jesus gave? And they decided that no, that was not a prerequisite to coming into the church. The church was a spiritual issue, not a flesh. Jesus said, it's circumcision of the heart. Now, what does that mean? You don't take a knife and cut the edge of your heart off. The heart in the Bible means your soul. All right. So what is this saying? The soul can be very crusty. And there are things there of the world. And God wants that to be changed. That's what the restoration is about. You're born instantly, reborn. Your spirit is quickened and made alive. But the soul is in the process, people, of being regenerated day by day. And the body's a future thing, and I'll be instant. That's where our battles are, right? If we don't feed on God's word, what's going to happen? So the circumcision is going to have to take place when you make a conscious decision to receive that gift of grace and get redeemed. Right? Okay. Any questions there? Isn't this good? Yeah. Not just because I wrote it, but
we shouldn't be reading the New International.
This is a new international.
New?
Yeah, the latest. It's been changed.
They're changing.
You have to go by the date of the copyright. Because that's the problem.
If we have an old Bible, we're fine.
If you have an old, if you have the old New International, you're all right. Jesuits are getting in control of Nelson Publishing. They're getting in control of the publishing of the Bibles. There's a conspiracy out there. It's been going on for hundreds of years, and people are oblivious to the whole thing. There are even English translations that are good that still don't have the right Greek, like if, there are many words, and since, you are the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. We've gone through that kind of stuff. Okay, number eight.
Number eight, the closer the return of the Lord, the greater the deceptions will be. Many dangerous deceptions are now in the so-called church. Many so-called church leaders either are deceivers or have been deceived. Even some of the Bible translations are intentionally corrupted. How can a true believer be protected from deceptions? One, rely on the Holy Spirit to discern error from truth. Number two, use the scriptures to verify what is being taught. Number three, to identify counterfeit money, real money is carefully examined, and when counterfeit money shows up, it will be obvious because the image of the real money is well etched in the mind.
Okay, now.
Same as us.
What does it, yes, this is a model. That's what the FBI teaches people to do. All right, so what is it saying? Know the truth of God's word, and we have the right translations, and know that. You don't have to study everything that's false. They'll confuse you. When it comes up, you see it, you reject it.
You know, right away.
That is just background stuff. And you should study that this week.
Oh, boy.
Because it's going to get more a graphic. What I mean by that is the illustration is going to be given to you. And God uses this olive tree. And we are living at a time when the second phase of that is taking place. It's taking place now. And yet people aren't aware of it. We live at a time when some of the prophecies that haven't been fulfilled are being fulfilled. Israel becoming a nation again is one of those. And all these people coming back, there will be people from every nation, it says, in Israel before this all comes to a conclusion. Now, according to the UN, how many nations are there in the world? 193. All right? Well, a lot of countries are split into two. You know, used to have Yugoslavia, and that came five different ones and so on. Yemen divided north and south. How many are in Israel today? I don't know the latest, but this was as of a year ago. 187. 187, that's six to go. If six people come, each from those countries that are not represented there, that's fulfilled. That's how close it is. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth because you are truth. And Father, we pray that we'll take these things seriously for ourselves, and so we're well grounded in the truth, and so we can speak against that which is out there in love, to let people know. That's what we're called to do. We have to know the truth and to be able to explain these things and challenge people. Sometimes it's just a matter of challenging their false beliefs to say, do you believe that's really true? Do you care about the Bible? Is that what the Bible really teaches? And then you need to point out, well, look at this, look at that. This is one reason, Father, we have these studies, and all these verses have been pulled out and put here so people don't have to dig through it themselves. But they need to be informed about it. They need to get it into their hearts and minds and meditate on it, Father. They begin to see a picture of this. And that's why you use these illustrations of the olive tree, and all through the Bible, you have parables. And the reason is so we can get that in our minds, and then we can explain it to other people after we understand it, Father. Lord, we put all that before you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.